We're going to be in the book of Joshua tonight. We'll be in, we'll just start in chapter 1 for a minute. Next week, let's do three songs on Sunday nights. Let's do three songs. Start putting that in there. So I want to just remind you that, or just maybe inform you for some of you and remind you, some of you, that where you are and what is going on in your life is God is preparing for you for something else. God is preparing you for something bigger. And the sad part of it is that many people run away from God. And they run away from what God is preparing them for. Or they go back and they don't get where God wants them to go because they're unwilling to make those changes in their life. But tonight we're going to look at Joshua, one who was a was one of Moses' right-hand men who would guard that the tent meeting, the meeting of tent. He went up in that area when Moses got the Ten Commandments. He was a warrior. He was a fighter. And what we find out here, that all that stuff that God was doing with him at that time, he did not know. But we see in chapter 1, it says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, he said, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. What we need to remember is, Joshua was one of the two of the 12 of spies that went into the promised land, came back and brought a positive report saying we can take the land. And the other one was Caleb. And the other 10 guys said, no, we can't do it. They seen with their eyes how big the enemy was, how big the land was. They saw the good things, but they saw how big the enemy was, and they chose not to go. A long story short, they wandered into the desert another 40 years until that whole generation died off, except for Caleb and Joshua. So those guys are the old birds that are there now, and everybody else is super young. But we do see that God has chosen Joshua to be this leader. Joshua was hanging around Moses a lot ever since they left Egypt. Joshua was hanging around. He knew what it was like to be in Egypt. He knew what it was like to be in the wilderness. He knew what it was like to cross the desert, cross the Red Sea. He knew what it was like to eat manna. He knew what it was like to go up and be with Moses and spend time with him. And so what we see, he knows how to fight. He's a warrior. And now all of this is coming to a place. Now he is going to be a leader. And so God has chosen him to be the leader. Now I want to tell you that for somebody to step in Moses' shoes, you ought to be, You're not gonna feel adequate. Nobody's gonna feel adequate. I mean, you only see a few names of the Old Testament by people in the New Testament. They bring up some Old Testament names. Moses is one of them, or Elijah is one of them. Very few others will they talk about, or they'll say the son of David when they're. But you do not see a lot of names. Moses is some big sandals, big shoes to fill. God knows he's not calling Moses though. He's calling Joshua. Sometimes it needs to be a different leader for a different time. We're not going to be here forever. We all grow old. Most of us will grow old, or we'll have our time in life, and our chapter will change chapters to generations, to decades, whatever it may be. And then there'll come a time when the book is closed and our life comes to an end. And then next thing we know, somebody else is picking it up. It's just the way life is until God calls us home through Jesus Christ. But now we're looking at a time here where the leadership has changed. Verse 3, we're going to go through this kind of quickly, verse 3, and then we're going to move to another chapter. But every place that, so God says, every place the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. That is a promise. That is a promise. You need to know when you see these promises that God gives to men or God gives to people, God keeps his promises, okay? And then he says in verse 4, from the wilderness in the Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. Verse 5, that's a promise. That's how far it goes. Verse 5, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life, as it was with Moses. So I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. That's a promise. That's a promise. Nobody will be able to stand against you. And he says, I will not leave you and I will not forsake you. That's God's promise to Joshua. What he's doing, he's giving him, he's encouraging him. He's building him up. In verse 6 now, he says, "Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them." You see, God's making a promise, but he's also saying it's not just a promise I'm making you. This is a promise I made to your forefathers. You don't know them. Joshua was never there with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. But God was, and he made that promise, and God remembers. And he says, you got to be strong. You got to have some courage. He said to verse 7, "Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you." He's bringing in Moses because he knows Moses, and it's something that Joshua can relate with. So he gave him the vision. The vision is that you're going to conquer this land, you're going to go over. Now this is part of the mission and the how-do. He says, do not turn from it, from the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. God wants you to prosper. This is not a prosperity message, but this is about some prosperity. He wants you to prosper. And he says in verse 8, this book of the law, which was written in the Moses had written that God gave him the words of those things, and now Joshua has it. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Just like this word right here we have. The Bible should not depart from your mouth. Okay? He says, meditate on it day and night. That means you talk about it and you think about it throughout the day and through the night. I hope you do that. Let me challenge you with this. When's the last time you have a memory scripture? Okay, you need to have scripture memorized. He says that you may observe to do according to all that is written. You need to pay attention. He says you need to do all that it says it's written. For then you will make your way prosperous again. And there you will have good success. So he says, God says, if you do it my way, I set out a plan for you. If you do it my way, you'll succeed. And you will prosper, which means you'll be bigger than you are. You'll be bigger than you are. And you got to remember, this is a big piece because he is looking at all these enemies out in front of him, and God is telling him, okay, you're the leader now. Now, I want you to go over to chapter 5. They're making their way through. There's some really neat things in here we don't have time to go through. But I wanted you to bring up to this piece. I wanted you to bring up to here to where Joshua is the new leader. People follow leadership. People will follow good leaders, and people will follow bad leaders. People will climb a mountain. When they don't have no strength, they'll follow the leader. When they don't have no strength, they'll dig deep. That's a good leader. Can encourage them, get them to do and go further than they ever thought they could ever go. But there's also leaders that will just walk off a cliff and people will walk right off after them. Bad leadership. People will follow bad leadership. For God doesn't want bad leadership. God develops good, godly leadership. So the problem in this world is that we teach leadership. The world teaches leadership in certain ways, and a lot of those are good knowledge. God gave us a brain to learn. But sometimes when God teaches us about leadership his way, we use our brain, we learn. We learn from those things. We learn how to lead. But sometimes God wants us to do things a little different than the world, because it makes us rely on him and not on the world. Makes us rely on him and not on us. In Joshua chapter 5, we have a moment here now. We have a specific moment here. Whether they're coming up to Jericho, their first city. We know that a couple of spies, Joshua sent a couple of spies to go in, and they were going to get caught, and they meet up with this prostitute named Rahab. That's not what we're getting into, okay? But that's part of the story. So if you know what I'm talking about, that's part of the story. But I want to talk to you about, because that's going on, but there's also something else going on. Any leader wants to always look out. He always wants to take a moment and go look at things a little different. He wants to take a moment to recon, any military, to recon what's ahead. That means you go out kind of in advance, check it out. And so we see here Joshua is kind of Could be this reconning moment. Could be this moment where he's just like taking this stroll or whatever. But he comes over in chapter 5, verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho. So he's there. He's by Jericho. That he lifted his eyes and he looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and he said to him, are you for us or our adversaries? He's right by Jericho. So he's saying, okay, this is, I don't know who this guy is. Are you for us? Because I don't know your face. Are you from them? One of the people in town, but from Jericho, or somebody that was passing by. And the man opposite him, with his sword drawn in his hand. Now that's kind of scary. Okay? So he has his sword drawn, okay? So it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and he looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and he said to him, are you for us or are you for our adversaries? And he said to him, no, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and he worshiped and said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? Now, if that was an angel, they would have said, don't do that. Don't fall and worship me. Okay? He didn't say that. What he says, he said, what does the Lord say to his servant? In verse 15, then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take your sandals off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy. And Joshua did so. This is also what happened to Moses at the burning bush, where Moses sees the burning bush, there's a few words spoken, and the Lord from the burning bush says, take off your sandals, for you're standing on holy ground. Wherever God is, God can make it holy. Okay? But I want to tell you, what I want to tell you is that God is using wherever you're at and you're walking in this world right now where God is, you're doing what God's called you to do and you're trying to live that life. God is preparing you for something. And we are called to be obedient as you process through that each day. This is not a moment of a aha moment. This is an aha moment for Joshua, but it's not the first moment that it's ever happened. You see, this moment happened with Abraham. Before his name was Abraham, it was Abram. And God spoke to Abram, told him to leave his land. God also wrestled that part where he was wrestling with Jacob. Jacob, he had a moment there with God. He had a moment with Isaac. There when he called Isaac, he called Isaac to do some things. He called Joseph, and he gave Joseph a dream. We see Nehemiah down the future. We're going to see Nehemiah down at the future when he hears his people and he breaks down and he's going to be rebuilding the wall. But there was a moment where he was broken and there was a moment when he saw the walls. He walked by himself. He got off his horse, his mule, and he took a walk and he began to put all this stuff in his mind. If you've had a moment like that, you will see God do amazing things if you follow that moment. It's a crossroads where few will follow. It's a crossroads where your whole world is taken upside down. It's in front of you, and you don't really know what to do because we are not very good at making decisions. Amen? Some of you are not very good at making decisions. Some of us are not very good at making decisions. We make some just bad choices. Sometimes we take the safe route. We take the safest route. We take the safe route. God is preparing Joshua for things he hadn't even seen yet. You see, what happens, anytime that God calls you to do something mighty and big, there's going to be a wall in front of you. And guess what? Jericho has a wall. And this wall is bigger than him. So how do you get through moments when he's looking, he's observing, and he's seeing, he's by Jericho, so he knows there's a great wall around it. No, they're going to surround it. Nobody gets in, nobody gets out. But you don't conquer. You can't conquer until you get in. There's a great wall there. This is where people turn around and they go home. This is where people turn around and say, I'm not going to do that. because they see the wall. But what people forget is what happened in the past. Joshua goes back to chapter 1. He can remember that. But God told me this. And God told me that. When our finances are low, like they are right now, when our finances are low in the ministry or even in the church, when the crowds seem to be low and we wonder what's going on, when things don't seem to be going as smoothly as we like them to, how do you get through those moments? I'll tell you exactly how you get through those moments. You go back to what was the last thing God told you to do, and you do it. He didn't say it was going to be easy. He didn't say you weren't going to have hardship. He just said, I'll be with you. I'll never leave you, and I'll never forsake you. He didn't say it was going to be easy. If it's easy, you can do it on your own. If it's easy, you can call anybody. But he prepares us to do great things, just like he did for Gideon. Just like he did for all of these guys. There's a great wall in front of them. So it's not just what happened at the moment when you see the wall. Your victory don't come on the day of the battle. Your victory comes before you start fighting. It's your preparation. Back in, it's the acceptance of the cause, the acceptance of what God's trying to do in your life, whether that's clean your life up or get you to a place where ministry or get you to wherever he wants you to. You got to accept that and go by the book and be faithful, and he'll prosper you in those things. But it's also as you go through that and you become obedient day after day and you got your setbacks and you work those out with God and you keep being faithful, then there's going to be that one moment where you get that night moment, where you get the moment when it's at night. You get a moment when you're alone, like on the Damascus Road with Saul. You're going to have those moments. They're going to be those crossroad moments. And for Joshua, although he saw all these other things, Moses was the leader at that time, so he just followed his leader. But he was obedient following the leader. But this is his big moment where everybody's going to be looking at him. This is his battle coming up. This is his responsibility. So it's the day before this whole battle, this whole thing begins to start. Because God's going to tell him to do it in a weird way. Because sometimes the faith, the test of faith in your life is to not to do it the way everybody else does it, but it's to do it the way God called you to do it. Okay? So that day he's seeing this, he's looking at it, and he's seeing this, and he sees a man coming in. Huh. Moses had a moment at the burning bush. Abraham had a moment putting Isaac on the altar. Joseph had a moment when he's in prison. Really? Was those dreams going to come true? Noah had a moment. You want me to build a what? And how big? Have you all seen the ark? It's huge. 8 people? Come on now. And he had a moment. Jesus had a moment. John chapter 17, Jesus has a moment. Jesus, his moment was in the garden. Couldn't you stay awake? Can you pray with me? Where his sweat became blood. But each one of these men, even though how hard it was, they went through it. They did it. For Jesus, it was to be flogged and beaten, spit upon, and crucified to death. For Noah, it was to be ridiculed for many, many years, building something that looked goofy in the middle of the world. Where nobody knows. What's rain? Nobody knows what that is. Abram, who decides to choose and pick up and move to another land and move from your family? Most of us wouldn't move from our family because we love our family. For Joseph, it was being in prison for something he didn't do, for sexual assault that he didn't commit. If you go to prison and you get out and you're on the sexual list, that's the worst thing you could be on. It's best to be a murderer than it is in this country than to be a sexual assault. Because you're labeled. People check out a church. They see somebody in leadership. They check a church out. Is that guy? Because I got kids here. Is that guy on the list? Joshua is standing here. And God's going to tell him to do it differently. He's going to tell them, I want you to do it this way. I want you to take all your people. I want you to go in there. I want to take your soldiers. You're going to march around Jericho one time. And you're not going to say a word. One time every day for 6 days. Every day. Every day. Now, for a leader of battle, that don't make no sense. Maybe that's intimidation. What is God doing here? What do we see? We don't know always all the answers for what God is doing, but we can see a few. One is the test of faith. This is the new people. This is the people that he says, if you do this, wherever you put your feet, your sole of your feet, I will give you victory and you will prosper, but you got to do it my way. This is that first part of that test. He says, I won't leave you. I won't forsake you. But he was encouraged the night before. As Joshua fell on his face, he was encouraged the night before. And this is what he was told. This is what you're going to do. And on that seventh day, when you go around, you're going to go around. And here it is, that wall. And here it is, testing of the leader, but also testing of the followers. Testing of the followers. We've had a lot of people come in through these doors. A lot of them are good people. But they couldn't go around the wall. They couldn't do it. It was different. Ministries are different. The asking of service is too much. It's too hard. People pick and choose when they want to come to church and when they don't want to. They don't feel the seriousness that it's not a feel-good moment when I feel like I want to go to church or I don't feel like I want to go tonight. But when you know that God's called you to do it, you're going to show up. You're going to do that thing. Even if it's night after, day after Sunday or Wednesday after Wednesday, or I'm going to be at the meal ministry. I'm going to serve here. I'm going to volunteer here. You're going to do those things. I'm telling you, God is watching just like he did Joshua when he sees there's a man of faith. I'm going to use that man. I'm going to use him. I'm going to use Esther. I'm going to use Ruth. I'm going to use those people of faith because I've created them to be bigger than what their situation is that's in front of them. But to get through that situation, they're going to need all what they've learned, but that's still not going to be enough. They're going to need me to get through it. But they know because of the way they were and how they lived, their character says that they know they can't do it on their own, but they're going to need God to help them get through that thing. And we see that there is a great wall here. It is the first piece of getting victory into a foreign land. The 40 years these people were on the other side and all their parents and grandparents died because they were rebellious. They kept complaining, we want to go back to Egypt. We want to go back to Egypt. We want to be slaves. God called them out of that. And there are people today that don't want to get through addiction. And they'll die in their addiction. And you can lead them all the way up to the promised land, but if they don't go, and they don't want it, they'll die on the other side. You can't make them go. And God says, okay, that's the way you want to be. I'm going to destroy all of them. But then there was a few men of godly character that dropped on their knees and pleaded to God, we know, don't let these people die. Don't take them out. Your name will be this, this, and that. We need to. And God said, okay, I'm not going to destroy them, but I will punish them. You see, we don't have a reverence for God. We don't have a holy fear of God anymore. We struggle with that because we put God on this as a genie in a bottle. And he's no genie in a bottle. God is sitting on the throne. And no one is going to move him from that throne. This is his world. This is his creation. He's the one that said star here, moon here, planet here, earth here. This is where I'm going to create man. This is his stuff. This is all his stuff. Sin is what turned it all upside down and blackened it and darkened it. Satan is doing his things. But then the scripture says, and I'll deal with Satan because he has an end. I'll deal with Abaddon. I'll deal with that as well. Whether you believe he's the same one or not, God will deal with all the demonic. But he also gives us a plan of salvation through Christ. And God knew this, that this man needed to learn that it's his way, that it's God's way. There's some walls in some of your lives that you're trying to get down and you're beating them on so hard, they're not coming down. If they were coming down with your power, it would have came down already. So you're going to have to step back, have a moment by yourself with God, and get on your knees and say, Lord, here it is. Here's what it is. I can't do this without you. There's something in front of me, whether it's physical or it's mental or it's financial or whatever it may be, or it's your children, it's your marriage, it's your family, or your attitude or whatever. You need to drop down and you need to take care of that business and let the Lord do a work on you that only He can. But you must come to Him humbly. You must bring it to Him humbly. He'll give you the victory. God can give a victory like this. The victory was already said in chapter 1. If you do it my way, you just need to be strong and courageous, be in the Word, live by it, and you'll be prosperous. It's not that hard. But the flesh inside of us always wants to draw and work against the things of God. To work against it. Now, there was another part of it. Now, as we see that they're going to do that, they went ahead and they marched around it day by day. They did those things. Now it says, verse 17, now the city shall be doomed by the Lord to destruction. It's, listen, the victory in the flesh may look like it's Joshua, but really the victory is the Lord's. Why is it the Lord's victory? Because the Bible says, the battle is the Lord's. Okay? David could not have took out Goliath if God was not with him. For David himself says the battle is the Lord's. Okay? And he says, now the city shall be doomed in the Lord by the Lord's destruction, and it all who are in it. Everything will be destroyed. Only Rahab the harlot shall live. It doesn't make any sense that the almost sinfulest woman in the city and the town will live. Listen, she did that because she hid the messengers that we sent. They did something. She had faith in what God, she had faith in those people who believed in God. And so what we see is they turned around and they destroyed, they went around on the seventh day, and Joshua shouted out, and everybody shouted, and the trumpets shouted, they were all trumpeting, and the walls began to fall down. Now, this is important. This is really important. As a mature Christian, you that have been a Christian for a while, some of you may have seen God do some miracles around you, or you saw it, or no, you've seen God move, you've seen an answer to something, you've seen God answer a prayer that was impossible for it to be done any other way. For these people here, this is one of their first pieces. It's not their first piece, but it's the beginning of them seeing God do amazing and big miracles like this. They see it. This is huge to them. But for Joshua, this is the God he knows. God is a mover, and God is a shaker. God changes things. God does these things. So when he saw the walls fall down, it wasn't, wow, look at that miracle. It was, my God is faithful. My God showed up like he said he would. So the difference in when you become a mature Christian, you'll begin to say things like, I knew God was going to do that. I believe that God was going to do that. I didn't know when, I didn't know how, but there he is. You see the fingerprints and the footprints of God working in different ways. When people start to believe, new believers, and as we begin to grow, we start seeing things. We're not sure that sometimes if God did that. We're not sure about those things. That's why we need to be in the Word. But the walls came tumbling down. But sometimes our faith test is not just in the one act that we do. Sometimes there's other things too. The Scriptures tells us that God says, now everything that is in there is mine. God says, now all that gold and all that silver stuff, that's mine, and you're going to put that in my treasure. You know, that's another test of faith, right? Then nobody's going to do it. This is a lesson. And what we do is we go into chapter 7 and we see they go into another battle, Ai, and they get defeated. I thought we weren't supposed to get defeated. And they knew something happened. Somebody sinned. And somebody went into that Jericho, and this guy named Achan, he stole something. He took something off the battlefield in the city, and he took it and put it and buried in his tent. You know what he did, right? People would have said, he took something from the battlefield. He stole something from the battlefield. He was supposed to give that. No, what he did was he stole from God. Because everything, God said, everything in Jericho is mine. All that gold and all that silver is mine. It's all mine. What it is we have to be cautious and pay attention to the details of what God tells us to do. Because God has given us a vision here to do these ministries, He didn't say it was going to be easy, but He said He'd pay for it. He's doing it. He said we would do a soup kitchen. It's up and running every day. He provides the volunteers that we're not able to provide. He provides the funds for it. For the women's shelter, He provided that. And each one of these buildings has an amazing story in themselves on how they were purchased. And now we're working on another house. He didn't say it was going to be easy. It's a good test that it was super hard and hard. He watches attitudes. I'm going to let this one linger because I want to see how their attitude is. I'm going to see if they're in it for the long haul or are they in it for the glory to open up a new one. I pay attention. I try to. We know that there's a men's facility that's a part of it. Some people say, well, I just don't see that. Well, it's been in the vision since 2005. We've not deviated from that vision. But God also tells us also through vision, He doesn't always give you all the details of it. God adds sometimes to the vision. It's just sometimes that we were given a great big vision, a great big vision. And many of you followed that call and that vision. And I want you to really pay attention to me. You looking? Are you looking? If I say anything important in 19 years, it's going to be right here. Outside of the gospel, sharing the salvation story of Jesus Christ. For this church, this is the most important. Where are our older leaders? They died on the other side of the promised land. They quit coming. They stopped. Most of them stopped. This is not filled up with 50, 45 and above members that was here back in the day. Is that resonating now? There are a few that believed. And we began to go forward. And God, so you are part of what was in the very beginning when you were all in high school. Or you are new and you have not been there since 2005, but some of you were here in high school and you did not know, but God was teaching you that there is a vision and you kept hearing it as young teenagers. You were hearing it, and as you heard it, you believed it and you followed into it, and now you are here now being what you've learned growing up. Now you are becoming leaders. Stepping over into the promised land of this vision of where others had fallen and fell and had quit. Who would quit on God's vision that was so amazing? This isn't about me, but this vision is bigger than any other vision I've heard in this whole area of Indiana. Who would quit on that? People who want to go back to Egypt. People who want to go back to the way it was. People who didn't want to get their hands dirty. People who was scared. People who weren't really wanting to. They loved the idea of being a great church member, but they didn't want to do the work that God calls His members to do. I'm not talking about the church and just in this church. I'm talking about the kingdom. Because God doesn't just save us so that we can say, I got my name in heaven in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's part of it. But He calls us to serve Him. And along the way, we picked up some stragglers. And we picked up some new people. And God's picking people. Where are those people? Here's the problem. Alan, you don't know some of those people. Ben, you've forgotten a lot of their names. And Eddie, you forgot some of their names. Ashley, you forgot some faces. But guess what? I remember them. Because they were my age. And they quit. Walking across the sea on dry land was not good enough. As those people. Getting manna. I'm tired of manna. I want meat. I don't see God, so I'm going to make my own God, my own golden calf. I don't like the way it's worked. And people just abandon. And God let them fall out. And God is bringing up a new generation of leaders, of followers. And we've hit some walls. And how do we work through those walls? We work through those walls by meeting God at a moment where we fall on our knees and when he shows up and we know who he is and he says, take off those, not just pray like you're in your car. Sometimes you fall on your knees, you take your shoes off, you find a place, wherever it may be, and you do it. And you see what God has for you. And it's not going to be in the way that you think. It's always in a different way. I'm up in Kentucky and I'm hiking with my brother and another pastor and I think Jerry Stell. We went up there and we did some hiking. We come back to get some gas through Kentucky. We pull over to get gas. And what did I see? I saw I saw a white guy and he was kneeling and he was doing the Muslim thing with another guy right out in the middle of a field with no embarrassment. And I drove by and I saw that and I was like, and you feel almost violated that they're doing that in your country. But here it is. We can't even pray when we go to dinner. We can't even find moments and spots where we're afraid. We can't even find moments where we can get in solitude, moments where we can just pray to God and say, God, here I am. And whatever he says, we do. And it took 7 days. The wall didn't come down overnight. Patience. 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 And when God does something good, we should shout it out. God is amazing. God is amazing. Let me tell you what God did. And they would say, let me tell you what God did. The walls came down. But here's the thing. They got it. They were in victory. But guess what happened around the other communities? The God of Israel is real. And we need to testify and to share what's going on so that others may hear and say, the God that New Life Fellowship really worships, that church, they worship, and that's a living God. We need moments when we're in solitude just with God. God has a lot more to say than what we do. Sometimes we just need to listen. We need to do it as he tells us to do it. And we need to look at the Rahabs, even though we didn't get into the Rahabs. Rahab is the harlot. And here's the thing. This is amazing. Basically, let's just say Rahab was a sinner and she was broken. And she was living a sinner's life. Yet, because what she did, she came to them and said, and she did something for them, and they said, okay, this is the deal. They made this deal. And they brought her in. Now what we do? We bring in broken people. Verse 19, I'm going to close with this. But all the silver and gold and the vessels of bronze and iron are consecrated to the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. Just because you get victory don't mean it's yours. Doesn't mean you get to say, this is what God's given us. This you can say, let me tell you what God allowed me to be a part of. This was a test for the people. Everything belonged to God. All the things that the flesh wants, the things. And God says, you're not going to get a thing like that. You're not going to get those things worth those things. So the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpets, and it happened, and the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat. Then the people went into the city, and they took over the city. Here's the thing. The people weren't looking at the bronze and the silver and the gold and all that. What they were looking at was they're looking because they were told that they were going to get something bigger than that, an inheritance of the land. People get sidetracked by the smaller things instead of what God's called them to. People get sidetracked by the little things instead of staying focused on the big thing. We could have done a lot of different ministries, a lot of different things, but we need, and they would have gave us some limelight here, limelight there. But when we focus, if you notice, when we focus on the ministries, that's where God's blessings are. When we focus on the vision, that's where his blessings are. That's where the prosperity for us is. That's where we have success in the vision. Amen? But some of us have walls in front of us. And they're laughing at us. They're daring us. And we fight and we chip, we chip, we chip, we chip, and we're not going to get through it. Because we're doing it in our own power and we're doing it in our own way. There is a way for victory, but you got to have that. You got to have that heart to heart with God. You got to have that moment saying, I can't do this on my own. But with God, as the angel said, with God, nothing is impossible. All things are possible with God. Amen. Folks, I want to tell you, we need finances in our ministries. We've been here before, but I know God is faithful. We'll be fine. We need some more people in our church. Well, let God worry about that. We'll keep inviting. We keep doing our thing. But God gets glory out of it. He gets glory out of this church. I think he does. We're not a perfect church. We're a small church doing things bigger than ourselves. That's a sign that God is doing things. So let's go ahead and stand. And maybe tonight you need to pray over a wall that's in front of you, that's around you. That wall can be anything.